Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning about times in our life where God calls us to let something go. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 32, for a message called Entrusting All to God as we go back to basics.
Paul had spent 3 years in Ephesus sharing the gospel, establishing the church, and discipling the believers. But now the time has come for him to say goodbye to those that have become so dear to him. And so he sent for the elders of the church, and that's where we picked up reading. He sent for the elders of the church. They came about 30 miles from Ephesus to Miletus. And there Paul spoke to them. And he, first of all, reminded them of the example that he had set, of his ministry, of the fact that he had not failed to declare to them the whole counsel of God. And then he warned them of the dangers ahead, that there would be those who would come in, savage wolves among them. And then finally, he places them in the care of God with absolute confidence that the God who began a good work in them would complete it. And so there in that 32nd verse, we read, "So now, brethren, I commend you," or we could translate that, "I entrust you," or "I set you before God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." There are times in our lives when changes take place, changes that make us uncomfortable, changes that we are not necessarily happy about. Nevertheless, they come. Sometimes we're called to let go of something that we don't want to let go of. Sometimes we're called to move on from somewhere we're not necessarily ready to move on from. Sometimes we are called to let go of people that we don't want to let go of. I am sure Paul experienced strong emotions as he was there with these people that he really loved and had invested so much of his life in. I'm sure his emotions were very strong as he considered the fact that he would never see them again, that God was calling him to something that would no longer allow him to be involved with them. So what do we do when we find ourselves in a situation like that? Because just like it happened to Paul, it will happen to us at various times in our lives. Circumstances will come. Changes are inevitable. We won't like it necessarily, but what do? Because we can't prevent it. We can't stop it from happening. So what do we do? Well, we need to do what Paul did. And what that was is that he just entrusted everything to God. At the end of the day, he just put it in the Lord's hands and just rested in the fact that God was able. Now, Paul could do that because he knew who God was. And the better we know God, the easier it will be for us to do those things when we are called upon to do them. You see, for Paul, God wasn't just some idea. He was not some impersonal force or, you know, just that idea that, well, you know, yes, of course, there's a God, there's a supreme being, but yet in the minds of people who think that way, he is completely detached from his creation. Many today, when the word God comes up, this is what comes to their mind. If there is a God, they think or say, he is inaccessible. He's unreachable. He's unknowable. But for Paul, God was not only real and living, he was accessible. He was personal. He was knowable. And not only was he accessible and personal and knowable, but he was caring. He was kind and gracious and loving. And according to Paul and the other writers of the New Testament, he is the Father of the Lord Jesus, and he is our Father too. And not only that, but he is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's all-wise, and he is all-good. You see, this is the God that Paul knew. So as painful as this was for him to say goodbye to these people, he knew at the end of the day, I can put them in God's hands. I can trust that God, even though I will no longer be with them, even though my season of life and ministry among them, even though that's come to a conclusion, I know that God is going to keep them. I know that God is going to take care of them. And again, he knew that because he knew God. He knew what he had experienced in his own relationship with God. He understood from the scriptures the kind of God that he was serving. He was familiar with God's own words to Moses. God spoke to Moses, and he revealed, it says, or declared his name, the Lord, Yahweh, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Paul, of course, would have known that. He would have known what David said concerning the Lord, something similar. David wrote in the 103rd Psalm, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." And here's my favorite part: "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." You see, in Paul's mind, he's entrusting these people to a God who cares, a God who's compassionate, a God who's loving, a God who's concerned. But Paul also knows that he is a God who possesses all power. He would no doubt remember the words that God spoke through Isaiah, when he said, "To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes to the heavens and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." See, Paul knew that God was compassionate, loving. He was tender, but he also knew that he possessed all power, that he spoke the heavens into existence, that he knows all of the heavenly bodies. He knows them all by name. So you see, this is the one that he's happily entrusting the Ephesian church and the believers there too. Of course, he would have known what Jesus said about God's care for us. Don't worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus said. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, Jesus said, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. My point is, this is the God that Paul entrusted the church and the believers in Ephesus to. This is the God that we entrust our lives, our loved ones, our concerns, and whatever else is beyond our control to. The lesson here, above all else, is that we will come to points in our lives when we are going to have to put something precious to us, something valuable to us, we're going to have to put it in God's hands and just say, Lord, I am trusting you. If we don't know this God, it's going to be more difficult. If we do know him, even though it will still have its challenges, if we do know him, there will be that confidence and that ability to rest in that kind of a decision. I can identify so much with what is happening right here in this text because I've had the experience in the ministry of having labored among people and invested in their lives and been very closely associated with them in the love of Christ, and then having been called by God to leave, to move on to something else. And that was not an easy thing to do. It was a very challenging thing. It was very painful, actually. I'll never forget the final day of ministry at Calvary Chapel Vista down in North San Diego County, where Cheryl and I and our family, where we lived and ministered for 13 years. And we were there for 13 years. We began with a handful of people, and after some 13 years or so, we had a few thousand people in the church. And the Lord called us to then leave that church and to go to the mission field. That was so difficult to do. It was so painful. And I'll never forget that last day where from the first service in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we stood and hugged and prayed for and cried with hundreds of people. It was brutal. It was painful. We were gutted. At the end of the day, oh my, when we finally got away, Cheryl and I, we went and had some, you know, late lunch, early dinner, and we just sat there looking at each other, thinking how drained emotionally we were from that experience, because the Lord was calling us to leave these people that we were so invested in and involved with. He was calling us to entrust them to somebody else, ultimately to entrust them back to God. And we did it, but it was a difficult thing to do. And from there, the Lord called us to go to London, and there we planted a church. And 4 years later, the Lord called us to do the exact same thing. And it was even more painful. It was more painful because it just seemed premature. It was like, wait, Lord, we're just getting started. Now you're telling us we need to leave? I've said this before. I've told people about that experience. I felt like what we were going through is that we had had a child, and now we were having to give it up to be raised by somebody else. That's how it was. And I remember the day that I got up to announce to the congregation in London that the Lord was calling us back here to work alongside of Pastor Chuck. I could not even speak. I just stood in front of the church and sobbed like a baby.
people were looking at me like, oh my gosh, what is happening? What is he about to tell us? It was so difficult. It was so painful. So I know what Paul was feeling. And as they gathered around him, as we read later on in the chapter, and as they fell on his neck and they wept and they kissed him and they sorrowed most of all for the words that he had said, that they would never see his face again. Oh, it's difficult stuff. But it's the stuff that life is made of. It's the stuff that we live through. Whether we're in the ministry context, like I'm describing my experience here, or and was Paul's, or other aspects of life, these kinds of things. Change is what we're talking about. We're talking about having to take something precious and valuable and just, we're having to entrust it. But you see, again, if we know God, if we understand his love for us and his great plan and how he's working out this wonderful thing, if we know that, it will ease the pain. It will make it a bit easier. And so Paul, it says, he said, I commend you to God. And then secondly, he said, and to the word of his grace. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. There are times in our lives when the Lord will remove things, resources, even people, so that we are forced to trust in the word of God alone. That's kind of what's happening here in this story. You see, Paul was a great apostle. He was a great discipler. He was a great lover of souls. He was a reliable person who was there to shepherd and to minister to them. And now the reality is he's going to be taken away from them. But Paul says, but I'm going to entrust you to the word. And actually what's going to happen here in their own experience is that even though it's hard for them to conceive of it, there's going to be a benefit that comes from his removal. They are going to be forced back upon God alone and upon his word. And in the end, it's going to do a deeper thing in their lives than would have been done had Paul remained. They're going to learn to trust God in a greater way, which is something that we are all called to do. And so it's during these times that God proves himself. When everything else is taken away, when we have to surrender everything to him, God proves himself. He reminds us that he is in control. And as a result of that, our own personal faith is built up and our sanctification, our development in Jesus is furthered. Now, we see this kind of thing many times in Scripture. Remember, I said times when God's going to perhaps remove things or resources or sometimes even people. Think of the story of Gideon. It was only after God reduced Gideon's army from 32,000 to 300 that they saw God's power demonstrated over the Midianites. 32,000. They were already outnumbered 10 to 1 with an army of 32,000 people. God says, you have too many men. Gideon thought, you're joking, right? So the Lord said, no, you got too many men. Tell everybody who's afraid. Tell them they can go home. Anybody who recently got married, tell them to go back to their families. And so the group was reduced by 22,000. Gideon ends up with an army of 10,000. God says, Gideon, your army's too big. Too big? It was small when we started. Now it's down to 10,000, and God reduces it to 300? That's crazy. It didn't seem to make any sense. But it was then that they saw the great power of God demonstrated. See, this happens so often. You think of Elijah. It was only after the brook dried up that Elijah was led to the supernatural provision that God would supply through the widow. Here's this brook. God leads him to the brook. He says, here, go here, stay by the brook. There's a drought and a famine in the land. He said, the ravens are going to feed you. And there he is. But then the brook dries up. What does he do now? Well, It's at this point that God leads him to a supernatural resource that he had planned for him. Going further in the history, I think of what we read in Isaiah. There in the 6th chapter where Isaiah the prophet says these words, "It was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord high and lifted up." Uzziah was a great man. He was a great king. And apparently his greatness to some extent eclipsed God. The people looked more to Uzziah than they did to God. Isaiah says it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. A fresh new vision. And no doubt, the believers in Ephesus, although they couldn't see it at the time, they would grow deeper in their personal relationship with the Lord when they no longer had Paul to lean on. So God is moving on the apostle. And Paul is having to take his baby, so to speak, and say, "Okay, you, Lord, I'm giving it back to you. They're your people anyway. I'm entrusting them to you." So you see, this kind of thing happens. It happened in the life of the apostle. It happened in various situations back in the Old Testament. It's happened all through history. It's happening today. Certainly, no doubt about it, in some of your lives, some kind of a thing is happening that is beyond your control. Something that's unpleasant in the sense that you're not really wanting this to be the way that it is. You're having to give up something, or you know, something of value. You're no longer going to be connected with it the way you were. And you're struggling. What do I do with this? Well, let me just say that I know the feeling. I know what you're talking about. We're living this right now. Cheryl and I, we're living in the midst of a situation like this. Back in 2005, I was at a conference in Germany. And during the conference, we had a time one evening where we gathered together in a small room and we were having a time of worship and we were waiting upon the Lord and we were seeking him in prayer and we were looking to just be open to him speaking to us, his spirit moving. And as we were there, just waiting upon him, this person spoke out a word. And when he spoke this word, it was like a lightning bolt hit me. And this word just resonated in my entire body from my, you know, tip of my head to the soles of my feet. I just knew that that word right there was for me. Well, I don't know how it applied to anybody else in the room. I knew it was for me. And the word was release. Release. And I remember at the time thinking, release, yes, I like that word. In my mind, I was thinking, man, there's going to be a release of God's power. Release, yes. Oh, Lord, thank you for this word. Amazing word, release. This is wonderful. So the conference ends, and I come back home, and I get here, and one of my dear friends, close friends in ministry, somebody that we'd ministered together for lots of years, he comes to me and he says, "Hey, I need to talk to you for a minute." And sure, what's going on? Feel like the Lord's moving me on. Suddenly, in my mind is ringing the word release. Release. Oh. But I got it. I did. I got it. It's like, wow, that's what it meant.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Entrusting All to God, and the resource number is OBB572. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.